Thank you. Again, we come to you with studies in the book of Matthew, the first book in the New Testament, and we're dealing with the account of the circumstances leading up to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, God's precious Son. We've been dealing right along in this 26th chapter in the preparation for his death and then his rejection and crucifixion from 26:47, which runs right down through 61 of chapter 27. We noted first of all the arrest in the garden and of Peter manifesting the energy of the flesh in cutting the ear off of the servant of the high priest, manifesting, I say, the arm of flesh, which most of us are ready to do when we shouldn't. And then we were dealing in our last lesson with the trial of our Savior before Caiaphas and before the ecclesiastical court. Again, may I suggest this to you for your thinking. When our Savior stood before the Jewish court, the ecclesiastical court of the land, the issue was not what he had done. The issue was his person. Whereas when he came before Pilate, the Roman governor, the issue was not his person. Pilate would care less as to who he was. The great issue was his character. What evil hath he done, said Pilate to them. And in our last lesson, we were dealing with this question of his standing before Caiaphas, and that after they brought false witnesses, you remember, who accused him, especially of saying that they heard Jesus say, "Destroy this temple of God, and in 3 days I will raise it." They misquoted him, of course, from John chapter 2, when he spoke of his body, not the temple of God, speaking of the Jewish temple. And then when the high priest put our Lord under oath, our Lord answered that he was the Christ, the Son of God, and that the time would come when they would see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven and sitting on the right hand of power. This was a fulfilling of Daniel chapter 7, what our Lord really was saying, "I'm the Messiah, I'm the King of Israel." For the Jews took Daniel chapter 7, those precious verses which talked about our Lord coming, being given an eternal, everlasting kingdom, and all the nations of the earth would be under his authority, that he was the one who was going to accomplish that. So they accused him of blasphemy. There's nothing left now but to take him away and kill him. Now starting in, if I may, from there, from verse 69, the account again gives to us something about Peter. And I read, But Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, "Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied before them all, saying, "I know not what you say." And when he was gone out into the porch, or onto the porch, another saw him, and said unto him that were there, "This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." And after a while came unto him they that stood by, and said to Peter, "Surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrayeth you." Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, "I know not the man. I don't even know what you're talking about." And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, "Before the cock crow, you shall deny me thrice." And he went out and wept bitterly. Now, if I might be allowed to do this on our lesson today, let's take this dear man, Peter. In chapter 26, let me go back to the beginning of the chapter, where the Lord said, Peter said, first of all, in verse 33, our Lord had said that they were going to be scattered and offended that night, and Peter said, "Though all shall be offended because of you, yet I will never be offended." And the Lord said, This night before the cock crow, you shall deny me three times. And Peter said, "Though I should die with you, I will not deny you." In other words, I'd rather die than deny you. Likewise said all the disciples. And then you go on down through to verse 58, down to verse 51. One of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Now in John 18 you find this is Peter. And the Lord said to Peter, put up again your sword into its place. All they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. And then you remember they were all scattered. In verse 56, they all forsook him and fled. In verse 58, and Peter followed afar off. And then you have him at the end denying his Lord with oaths and curses. I would like you to do this, if I may, for a few moments with respect to dear Peter. I do this because I believe it's very apropos with most of us. All of us mean, I'm speaking now to you Christian, to all of us who really love the Savior, we would say we would never deny him. We were like Peter. And if you notice the steps of Peter's downfall, and before I give you those steps of his downfall, when you think of Peter in his failure, 9 cases out of 10 we remember that he denied his Lord with oaths and curses. That's what we remember. But we forget where it started from. Shall I name those steps downward of dear Peter? First of all, he was self-confident. Though all men forsake you, you can sure count on dear old Peter. I'd die for you. I'd rather die than deny you. Self-confidence. The second step down was, he slept when he should have prayed. The Lord took him into the Garden of Gethsemane and said, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. And you remember 3 times when the Lord came back from praying, talking with his Father, in his agony there in the garden, he fell asleep. By the way, may I inject in here, in Matthew 17, Luke chapter 9, where you have the transfiguration of Christ, where our Lord was glorified before Peter, James, and John, they slept again. You remember that? They slept in his glory. They slept in his agony. And when you come to Acts chapter 12, you find Peter sleeping again. This time he's sleeping in the jail. He's going to have his head cut off in the morning, and he went calmly to the jail and slept all night. The angel came and had a wake him up. He said, come on, get out of here. Peter was a good sleeper. I don't want to be funny on that, but how like Peter we are. He slept when he should have prayed. The third step down, he manifested the flesh. He took his sword out and cut the man's ear off. In the presence of one who had just spoken the word, and I quote from John 18 when he said, I am. He said, whom seek ye? They say, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am he. And they all fell backward to the ground, manifestation of the power of God. He took his sword out and chopped the fellow's ear off, manifestation of flesh. And when you sleep instead of praying, chances are the flesh begins to come to the front again. And then I read this man who said, I'll die for you. He followed afar off. He's still following. As far as I know, the other men, except John, they scattered. But at least Peter was following afar off. And there are many, many, many Christians. And I'm not questioning their relationship to the Savior, but they're following afar off. Are you? Are you? You're following, but afar off. You're not walking in fellowship with the Savior. And then I read that Peter came into the place, and according to the Scriptures, John was the one who brought him in. And he sat down and warmed himself at the enemy's fire. He sat down among the enemies of Christ. He lost his walk and place of separation. He mixed up with the servants round the fire. And then finally, one of them said, a girl said, you're one of his disciples. He said, I'm not. And an hour afterwards, another one said, why, of course you're one of his disciples. He said, I'm not, man, I'm not. And then a long while afterwards, another said, sure, you're one of his disciples. Your speech betrayeth thee. And he denied it with oaths and curses. He took the language of the people among whom he was sitting or standing. And then I read in John's Gospel, the Lord turned, I think that's in Luke 23, and the Lord turned and looked on Peter. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. The Lord turned and looked on Peter. It seems to me as if they were in the same room. While our Lord was being tried for his life, Peter was there, denying his Lord. Now, don't you be too hard on Peter. The Lord wasn't. The Lord still loved Peter. For you remember in Luke 24, after resurrection, I read these simple words, "And the Lord hath appeared unto Simon also." Ah, yes. He still loved Peter. He still loves you. You mean even when I deny him? Yes, yes. If you've accepted him as your Savior and you're a child of God, your frailty and your weaknesses, and I again say even your failures, do not affect his love for you. When Peter saw the look on Jesus, he went out and wept bitterly. Will you notice these steps down? Excuse me, are you repeating them? But isn't it true about you and me how often we do that? We're boastful. We'd never deny the Lord. No, sir. We see people all around us, and many of them deny the Savior, but no, sir, we won't do that. But we do. And then we sleep when we should pray. Then we follow afar off. We manifest the flesh and cut the fellow's ear off. Then we follow afar off. And then we sit down. We break the wall of separation and we sit down with the enemies of Christ. Oh, how many have done that? Why, Mr. Mitchell, if I don't sit down with them and be one of them, why, they look upon me as being peculiar, religious crazy. Yes, they may call you all kinds of names. And Peter, to make them sure that he was not a follower of Jesus, not one of his disciples, he denied the Lord with oaths and curses. He's going to make them know that he didn't belong to Jesus. And then I read, Jesus turned and looked on Peter. Oh, may I add this? I do not know how Jesus looked on Peter. The Bible doesn't tell us. And I'm quoting from Luke, by the way, chapter 23, for Luke tells us about this. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. He remembered the word of the Lord, that before the cock crow he would deny him thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. I say, I do not know how the Lord looked on dear Peter, but I'm sure of one thing. The look of the Savior on Peter was not one of disappointment. It was not one of surprise. In fact, he told Peter in Luke chapter 22, in Luke 22, he says, "Peter, Simon, Satan desires to have you to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that you fail not." You know, it was the same dear Peter who wrote afterwards in his epistle, "Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." See, Peter knew where it was to be humbled. From self-confidence to denying his Lord with oaths and curses. Oh, the steps down. Dear Christian friend, may you and I so walk before the Lord every day, every hour, and as one missionary said, even between the minutes, just to walk with the Savior. Because our own hearts will deceive us. Peter was a moral coward, but he didn't know it. So he went into Satan's sieve, and Satan sifted him. And the same dear Peter, who denied his Lord with oaths and curses, after Pentecost, filled with the Spirit of God, he accused the whole nation of killing the Prince of Life. In fact, afterwards in Acts chapter 4 and chapter 5, after Peter had been restored and met the Savior and filled with the Spirit of God, he stood before the same Sanhedrin, before Caiaphas and Alexander, this very same group that turned the Lord over to be crucified. Peter stood before them and said, "There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And these religious leaders like Caiaphas and that, they looked upon Peter and John and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if it was in the same room where they tried Jesus and and led him out to be crucified. The same group, the same Sanhedrin, Peter accused them of killing the Prince of Life, and that there was no other name under heaven whereby they must be saved. And when they threatened Peter and John, they beat them up and threatened them never again to speak in the name of Jesus. This same dear Peter, who denied his Lord, went right back into the temple, right from jail. An angel let him out. He went right back into the temple and preached the word of God with boldness. And as Proverbs says, the righteous are as bold as a lion. Same Peter? Yes, but now filled with the Spirit of God. In Matthew 26 and in Luke 22, dear Peter was occupied with Peter. But once he got occupied with the Savior and walked in fellowship with the risen Lord, my friend, he could go out and preach the gospel to the very ones who tried our Savior and sent him over to Pilate to be crucified. They panted for his blood. The same dear Peter, who denied his Lord before a girl, stood up boldly and proclaimed the gospel, and even told these men if they wanted to be saved, and I think Peter really meant it, would indeed that they might be saved, but they had to come through Jesus, God's precious Son. Am I talking to you, my friend, believer in Christ? Will you guard your heart, against self-confidence, against the energy of the flesh, and against sleepiness when you should be praying? And it may be you're following afar off. It may be you've even denied your Lord before the world. And you're discouraged and you're disheartened. And you say, what's the use? I can't live a Christian life. My friend, you can't either. But you can turn to the Savior. And just like Peter, he was filled with the Spirit of God, was absolutely transformed man for God. Can't you be the same? He's the same Savior. And the same blessed Spirit that was in Peter is indwelling you. He wants you to walk with him. Testify for him today. And even if you have denied him, get down before him and confess your sins. And how glad I am to say he has promised to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. It is not that you're waiting for God. God's waiting for you. An unsaved friend, his arms are outstretched to save you if you'll just come to him. And now is the accepted time, and now is the day of salvation. Now may the Lord bless you today and fill you with all joy and peace in believing for his name's sake.